Our next guest has certainly made it a big part of her life's work and is helping others through a website, through her writings, and as she says, just about every women's-oriented magazine out there, and will be appearing tomorrow night at the Maine Discovery Museum in Bangor to talk about the science of parenthood, which is safe to say may not exactly be a science at all. Noreen Dworkin McDaniel joining us. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's fabulous to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So obviously step one in this process was having a child.
Step one is having a child. Step two is not to panic. And step three is to find something to laugh about every day, because if you do not learn how to laugh about the craziness, you will end up in a corner somewhere wearing one of those fancy jackets that button up the back.
Well, and I love the title of the website and the book too, because I've said forever, in the last, I don't know, maybe since Dr. Spock, but more so in the last 20 years with the incredible growth of self-help books, people trying to turn parenting into a science when it's anything but that.
Well, our science of parenthood is kind of a spoof on that. We use math and science as a filter and a lens for our humor. So we take the things that make most parents want to scream and tear their hair out, and then we twist it a little bit and shove it through that scientific lens, and out comes stuff to laugh about. For instance, one of our earliest jokes is the sleep geometry theorem. A child will always sleep perpendicular to any adult sleeping next to them. And we figured that one out the hard way. My husband and I pushed to the edges of the bed as our child spread out between us. And I don't think it matters how large a bed you have. This will always happen. You will never, as a parent, have enough space in the bed.
I know this is a question you address, but I'm hoping to get a little insight, because my guy is at that age where we see this a lot. And so I ask you, why is Caillou such a whiny little bitch?
Oh, my God. I wish we knew the answer, but I can tell you how to get through. We address this in the book, Science of Parenthood, Thoroughly Unscientific Explanations for Utterly Baffling Parenting Situations. And I make reference to it in my performance. If your child discovers Caillou, particularly if he discovers Caillou on demand, you need to bust out the tequila. We have a beverage to TV index. And it, for instance, if you if you're watching anything Pixar related, you can pretty much get through like water or some soda. Once you get into Max and Ruby territory, you're going to need a bottle of Pinot. We recommend a really big bottle of Pinot. Caillou is the far end of the spectrum, and at that point, it's really, you know, pick your poison, Patron, Cuervo, whatever, just lay out the shots. And if you do a shot every time Caillou whines, but mommy, you can be passed out drunk before the end credits roll. Seriously, save yourself.
I was really lucky. I got my daughter hooked on Bear in the Big Blue House when she's 18 now, so this was a while ago. A show I could tolerate. But yeah, Caillou was one of those ones I avoided with a passion.
Yes, we were a no Caillou household. We discovered Caillou because our readers and our Facebook followers told us about Caillou. The show that we were able to tolerate in our house was Word Girl, because it was all about vocabulary.
Yes, yeah.
We liked Dinosaur Train. Because, hey, who doesn't love dinosaurs?
Right,
plus,
right.
It was about an adoptive dinosaur, a T-Rex in a family of pteranodons. We love that. And what was the other one that we liked? Oh, it escapes me because I'm a mom and I have no brain cells left.
Yeah, we have a couple. We enjoy Peg Plus Cat is a fun little show. It's got some great math stuff. Almost, to me, as annoying as Caillou, might be Dora the Explorer. I have a hard time with that one.
Well, the one that absolutely sent me over the edge, and I make reference to this in the show, was Thomas the Tank Engine. Even George Carlin as the narrator could not save that for me. And of course, I had a little boy. Not to say girls cannot love Thomas the Tank Engine. I encourage, you know, everybody to, you know, love everything. But my son was wild about Thomas, and he wanted to watch that over and over and over again. And I thought I was just going to die. It's just awful. The trains,
the creepy faces on those
trains.
And
they're just the whole thing was just really irksome to me. And that's all he wanted to watch was Thomas the Tank Engine. So for me personally, that was the thing that really, like, you know, got under my skin. So Thomas is in our beverage to TV guide, and I think that's bourbon.
Ah, it's a good plan. That would have been so much better when the little guy was two. We're talking with Noreen Dworkin McDaniel, The Science of Parenthood, live tomorrow night at Maine Discovery Museum in Bangor. Games, playing games with your children can certainly be a challenge. I know my guy sort of adapts the rules to any game to see that he wins, and then it laughs, a little evil three-year-old laugh when he cheats and wins. But Candyland, especially troubling. And you've done, some scientific work on this, because the time that exists in Candyland world is different than the time we all know.
Yes. Time will stretch out. You know, you can really see that time flies when you have a newborn and then you blink and your kid is ready for preschool or for kindergarten. It seems like no time passes at all. But then you're stuck inside on a rainy afternoon and you're playing Candyland. And then time seems to slow to this glacial pace. It just stretches out unbelievably slowly. I think we are still playing the same game of Candyland. My son is 11. We are still playing the same game of Candyland. Although I do have a pro tip. This came to me from another pro mom. It came to me too late to take full advantage of it, but if you take out the face cards from Candyland, you get through it a lot faster. So, because what always happened to us is we'd be like, you know, a couple of squares away from Candyland, and then we'd get, you know, whatever drops you all the way back to, you know, the very beginning. It's like chutes and ladders. You're almost there, and then you get the one that drops you all the way back, the giant slide.
Now, obviously, your son, who's 11 now, as you mentioned, Fletcher, was the inspiration for this, but also questions and his own experience in school led you to look into the world of science and how you could merge these two.
Well, there was a science class when he was in second grade. He came home from school talking about Newton's laws of force and motion. You know, it's the one everybody knows. An object at rest will remain at rest unless acted on by an external force. So he's chatting to us at dinner time, and it suddenly hit me like a ton of bricks. This sounds just like him with his video games. So I quickly jumped up, and I wrote down Newton's first law of parenting. A child at rest will remain at rest until you need your iPad back. So it was this Montessori science lesson that suddenly gave me the inspiration to meld science with parenting. And I started to write these little observations up on Facebook. And then I realized, you know, this is funny stuff. My friends were commenting on it. I thought this would be even funnier if we had visuals. So I reached out to my friend Jessica Ziegler, and she started to art them. And thus Science of Parenthood was born. But we call it Newton's iPad, Newton's first law of parenting. So that became our first cartoon. And then we started to do other ones like the sleep geometry theorem. And we have more, which I'll show in the performance at Maine Discovery Museum.
And also tomorrow afternoon, stop by, see our friend Gibran, and Noreen will be right there at the Briar Patch, 27 Central Street in Bangor, doing a book signing at 3:00 tomorrow afternoon.
That's right. Looking forward to it.
And then tomorrow night, Science of Parenthood Live, the Back to School Tour. Ooh.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it more than my kid is looking forward to Christmas.
6:30 tomorrow night. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door. What was Dr. Oz like? Was he a cool guy when you were on his show?
Dr. Oz is wonderful. He is exactly as he is in person, as he appears on TV. He and I have done a number of health articles together. In my previous life as a women's magazine writer, I had done tons of health stories. So he and I put together, we worked on about a dozen articles together. So when I was putting together this book, Science of Parenthood, you know, he's a dad and he's a grandfather. I think he has two grandchildren now. It was an easy thing for him to endorse the book. So he wrote us a very nice cover blurb, and had me on his show to talk with him, and he's wonderful. I just adore him.
The book is Science of Parenthood, Thoroughly Unscientific Explanations for Utterly Baffling Parenting Situations. If you see a particularly harried mom who looks like she's been chasing a crazy three-year-old redhead tomorrow night, that would be Abby. That would be my wife.
I'll go give her a big hug.
Thank you. She needs that. And thank you for coming in, Noreen.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Noreen Dworkin-McDaniel. Tomorrow night, 6:30, Maine Discovery Museum, 3 o'clock for a book signing at Briar Patch in Bangor.